All right, Yismach Yisrael for Parshas Vayetze. We'll start with Oz Gimel on page 109. B'Medrash Rabba. This is the opening Medrash. This is the opening Medrash on this Parsha Vayetze. Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava Vayelech Harana. Yaakov left the Be'er Shava and he went to Haran. Rav Pinchas B'Shem Rav Huna Bar Papa Pasach. Rav Pinchas B'Shem Rav Huna Bar Papa began his exposition on the Parsha. I mean, the way the Medrash Rabbah usually works is that it quotes from different tzaddikim, different tanaim, who would begin their presentation on the Parsha by quoting usually a pasuk elsewhere in Nach, and use that as a pesach, as a mafteach, as a key to unlock the Parsha. So what did Rav Pinchas, in the name of Rav Huna Bar Papa, use to unlock the Parsha? He quoted a pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk in Mishlei says, "Oz teilech levetach darkecha." Oz teilech levetach darkecha. Then you will walk with confidence. Now, vayetze Yaakov. So we start the parsha. Yaakov's running for his life. He's running from Esav. He's running into the lap of Lavan, who in many ways is even worse than Esav. And yet, says Rav Pinchas in the Medrash, this reminds me of the pasuk in Mishlei, a person who walks with confidence. Zeh Yaakov, that refers to Yaakov. Dichsiv vayetze Yaakov. That when Yaakov goes and Yaakov hits the road, he goes with confidence. Says the next pasuk, im tishkav lo sifchad. If he lies down to sleep, he will go without fear. Me'esav milavan. So amazing. Yaakov is being presented as this person who has tremendous bitachon, right? He's teilech levetach. He walks with confidence, with bitachon. He feels protected by Hashem. He's not afraid of Esav behind him or Lavan in front of him. He's able to sleep, right, without being nervous or afraid. So he's an ish bitachon. He's a person of bitachon. Bitachon is certainly a theme in the life of Yaakov Avinu, being able to handle difficulties. But what we're about to learn is, how does a person handle those difficulties? How does a person travel through life with a sense of bitachon? How does a person sleep when he has enemies behind and enemies ahead? So, says our Rabbi, the Yismach Yisrael, you have to know the context of these psukim. So let's look at the context of the psukim. Levar divrei ha-medrash yeshlomer al-pi darchei avodas Hashem yizbarach. To try to explain this medrash in a way that we can apply it to our avodas Hashem. V'nevaer b'zeh psukim ha-kodmim sham. Let's just go back a couple of psukim. Mishlei perek gimel pasuk of aleph. Right? Meaning, why is this person? Then he will walk with confidence, and he'll be able to sleep without being afraid. Why? Why is he able to do those things? Says the Yismach Yisrael. So just go back. The pasuk says, "Paragivu pasuk of Aleph bni, al yaluzu meinecha, al yaluzu meinecha. Don't remove it from before your eyes. Nitzur tushia umizima. Watch over tushia. Tushia means like etza." Watch over counsel. Now, the mizima, we'll have to see how we're going to interpret that. But keep it before your eyes. If you keep it before your eyes, now what's the it? If you keep it before your eyes, then you'll be able to travel through this world with confidence. You'll be able to sleep even when you're surrounded by enemies. What is this thing that Shlomo HaMelech is telling us in Mishlei to keep our eye on? Hainu. Im adam toa b'derech haseicha. If a person feels that he's somewhat of a wanderer, he's toa. He's lost, he's wandering, and his mind is not settled. Shenechshach ba'ado ur hadas ve'ein nogalo. That his das, that his ability to, what is das? Das is the ability to be attached deeply to something. Chachma, bina, and das. Chachma is, so to speak, the spark of an idea. Bina is the expansion and the extrapolation of that idea. Das is the solidification of that idea. So if a person feels he doesn't have das, meaning, when Yaakov Avinu, right, is able to go about life with a certain confidence, you have to be like locked in to be able to do that. If your connection to your own ideas are floating, so you don't feel settled. Das means settled. Das is marriage. Das is the intimacy of husband and wife. Das is deep chibur, deep attachment, being fully connected. So if a person feels that his mind is not settled, that his mind is darkened, and his das is not illuminated, And he's not attached the way he wants to be, and he feels threatened by that. He feels that life is chaotic. And he wants to be able to go through life and to be able to travel with confidence. And he wants to be able to sleep at night without being afraid. Right? And he feels ve'ein noga lo. Noga means to shine upon him, to illuminate. Again, ve'ein noga lo. He's living in the dark, which again is so much what Hanukkah is about, emerging from that darkness of Yavan. Because Yavan creates a lot of bilbulim in the Malach. We'll talk a lot more about that, Mirtz Hashem. So how do you fight back? So how do you have the confidence? What's the best way to be able to make your way through life, knowing that life is not chaotic? Knowing that there's a Rabbono Shalom. How do we get to know Hashem in this world? And the answer is very simple. What did the Yavanim want to do to the Jewish people? Lashkicham Torah Secha. If you're grounded in Torah, right, if you're grounded in Halacha, so Halacha is Halichos Olam Lo. It teaches you how to travel through this world. Torah is the advice that guides a person through this world. So it says Yismach Yisrael, I'll underline these next two lines. Eitza hayeutza sheyam mir haTorah kedosha leneged einav, uvaora yira or. You know what the greatest advice is when life gets chaotic? When you want to lock yourself into the higher order of reality because you feel like the world is just totally out of control, spinning out of control. So lock yourself into the Seder HaBriya, the blueprint of the Briya, the thing that preceded the world itself, which is what? Which is Torah. Place before Eitz HaYeutza, the greatest advice, is place before your eyes the Torah and walk by its light. Again, that's what Shlomo HaMelech said when he said, "Bni al yaluzu me'inecha." My son, don't let it move away from before your eyes. If you keep Torah before you at all times, Torah always has an answer to everything. There's no situation you could be in where Torah doesn't have a response. It's not always comfortable. It's not always an easy response. We have responsa from the Holocaust. Those were not easy questions to answer. But imagine trying to answer those questions without Torah. At least those tzaddikim and talmidei chacham who had a Torah perspective could at least begin to grapple with life's most challenging questions. And that gives a person a certain confidence. Sha'atorah kadosha nikra ur, top of the left column. Torah is called light. K'mayim rakasav kiner mitzvah v'torah ur. Or how about the Gemara in Megillah? La'ihudim ha'isa ora, ora zu Torah. I think it's Megillah daf tazayim. Va'torah kadosha minhagto sheyelech v'derech ha'yashav ha'ratzui. The Torah serves as your nahag, as your driver. The Torah guides you through this world. That you should be able to travel on the correct path. Right? On the chosen path, on the desirable path. Again, as it says in Mishlei Perek Vav, B'yisalechecha tancha osach. It's the Torah. The Torah guides a person in this world. And that's what it means, v'zeh b'ni al yaluzu me'inecha. My son, don't remove it from before your eyes. K'peres Rashi zal sham. As Rashi explains there, al yis'akmu mineged einecha. Don't allow it to become crooked before your eyes. As long as the Torah is clear to you, as long as your connection to Torah is clear, you can make your way through the lovins of the world, you can deal with the asavs of the world, but you need Torah to guide you. Nitzur tushia, hold on to its counsel. U mezima. Now, mezima could be read positively or negatively here, right? Meaning, it could be, keep your eye on the Torah, which will be a source of guidance and foresight for you. It'll help you to plan your ways. Right? Like Edom Zomim. What are Edom Zomim? Or Edom Zomim. Right, four witnesses who came up with who made an accusation, who made a plot against you. Right. So the Torah can help you plot out your life, and it could also save you from things that are plotting against you. Lavan and Esav were plotting. They spent a lot of time plotting against Yaakov Avinu, waiting for the right moment to try to destroy Yaakov Avinu. So if you keep Torah before your eyes, you can handle the Esavs and the Lavan of the world. Look how he explains it. He says, Torah kadosha nikra etza. The Torah is called etza. Interesting. The Torah is called etza. What does etza mean? Advice. Torah is advice. It's optional. It's advice. So it's interesting. We do find that the Torah is called advice. David HaMelech in Tehillim refers to the Torah as advice. Heavenly advice, but advice. Right? The Rambam refers to the mitzvos as etzos merachuk. Advice from beyond. And the Zohar HaKadosh, I always put these three together, the Rambam, David HaMelech in Tehillim, and the Zohar refers to the Taryag Mitzvot as Taryag Eaton. Taryag Eaton means 600 and Eaton with a tes. Ayin tes yud nun, Eaton. Eaton means 613 etzos. The Torah is 613 pieces of advice, all pointing me towards this one overarching goal, which is what? Uvo tidbak, to cling to Hashem. So that's why it's called advice. Not to say that it's optional, but realize that each of these pieces of advice is to create what? Attachment to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Das. Deep chibur with Hashem. So the Torah is called Eitzah, says the Yismach Yisrael, right? That, and that's what Shlomo Melech is saying. Hold on to the counsel of the Torah. Ukamayim Rakosav, as David HaMelech says in one of several places, Tilim Kuv Zayin, Va'atzas Elyon Na'atzu. That's obviously referring in a negative sense, that those who, Na'atzu means those who reject. Those who spurn the Atzas Elyon. Those who reject the heavenly guidance, the heavenly advice. That's what Torah means. Torah teaches us. It guides us. Torah means a guide. Right? What does the word mitzvah mean? What's a mitzvah? Mitzvah, the Gemara uses the phrase tzavsa, means attachment, chibur, connection. Right? Mitzvah means attachment. To be connected to something. So therefore, v'hayim shemoa tishma la'atzas ha-Torah, tinatzel mimazima umikol machshav osra. If a person attaches himself to the counsel of the Torah, to the wisdom of the Torah, it will protect a person from mizima, from anything that's trying to pull you in, that's trying to attach itself to you in a negative way. Whether it's a bad thought, or it's a bad action, or it's an Esav or a Lavan who are plotting to sabotage you. Kidrashas Chazal, as the Gemara says in Avodah Zarah, midvar zima tishmor alecha Torah. Midvar zima. Zima in this context means what? Lewd behavior. Zima is usually a code word for arayos. So midvar zima tishmor alecha Torah. The Torah protects you from lewd behavior. The famous Rambam at the end of Hilchos Isurei Bia, where the Rambam says a person only gets involved in sexually immoral activity if he's not attached deeply to the wisdom of Torah. If we fill our days with meaningful content, if we fall in love with Torah, so then I don't have to fall in love with all sorts of cheap pleasures, which one might also consider, you know, superficially, an expression of love, of longing, of wanting to be attached. The Rambam says that a heart that's filled with the wisdom of Torah has no interest in machshavas arayos. So the Torah protects a person from zima, literally from lewd activity, from lewd behavior, from lewd matters. And that's what it means, vayetze Yaakov mibe'er shava vayelech harana. Look how he darshans the pasuk. It's a beautiful drasha. He says, Yaakov avinu alav ashalom. Everyone see where we are? The abbreviation, yud aleph ayin hey. That stands for Yaakov avinu alav hashalom. Yaakov avinu alav ashalom. Hera lanu ladas. Yaakov taught us in the deepest of way, in the clearest of ways. B'ma lechazik es atzmenu. Aleph ayin stands es atzmenu. How to strengthen ourselves. Where was Yaakov going? Vayelech Charana. He was going to Charana. He was going to Charan. Charan means what? Charon. The Charon Af of the world. Charon means anger. Charon means a dangerous place, a violent place. So Yaakov was going to Charan. He was going to face some very intense enemies on the way. He was leaving the home of his parents. He's leaving the safety net of Yitzchak and Rivka. Vayetze Yaakov mibe'er shava. He's leaving that place where he was comfortable. We'll explain what be'er shava means in a second. But he's going to Charana. He's going to a lashon of Charon. A place of what? A place where they're going to be very antagonistic to Yaakov Avinu. Right? Where people are going to face him with tremendous anger and tremendous opposition and want to destroy him. And that's what happens. With Esav and Lavan. So what's Yaakov's advice? How does he hit the road? What does he take with him on the road of life? As he faces the Charon Af of the world? The answer is, Atzasohi Be'er Shava. Where does he come from? Vayetze Yaakov, mi Be'er Shava. So to speak, he comes from the perspective of Be'er Shava. What does Be'er Shava mean? So he explains, Hi HaTorah Kadosha. The Torah is called the Be'er. A Be'er means a well. Right. A well is a place where there's water, deep waters. It's specifically deep waters. We're learning Bava Kamma, for those who remember. Bava Kamma Daf Yud Zayin, the Gemara says, Ein Mayim El Torah. So a be'er, a well, which has a lot of water, and specifically deep waters, is very deeply an expression of connection to Torah. So Yaakov comes from Be'er Shava. Right? The Torah HaKadosha Shenikres Be'er. As we find in the Song of the Well in Parshas Chukas. Be'er Chafaru Asarim. Like the Be'er, like the well that has been what? That has been hewn, that has been carved out by great nobles. The Be'er is, right? Ha'oil Moshe Be'er Es HaTorah Azos. Moshe at the end of his life is... The air means to expound, right? Also, like to give a biur. But the Torah expounds life to us. So the be'er of Torah is where Yaakov Avinu, who is the person of Torah, comes from. Why be'er shava? Seven? Is seven a number of Torah? So need a little bekias to put this one together. Says the Yismach Yisrael, yes. Al shem zayin sifrei toros. You know why it's the be'er shava? The well of seven, because the Torah is made up of seven books. Anyone know what he's talking about? I thought there were five books of the Torah. What's the seven books of the Torah? Who knows? You know? Yeah, let's hear.
Another book, Midbar.
Right, but Midbar is divided into three books. Right? Because Vayhi bin Sawa Aaron, which is surrounded by those Nunim Hafuchim, the Gemara says in Shabbos, I think it's Kufta Zayin, the Gemara says, here he quotes a Medrash, that Vayikarabah, right, the Vayhi bin Sawa Aaron is like a Sefer Bifnei Atzma. So that means Bamidbar has the section of Bamidbar up to Vayhi bin Sawa Aaron. Then you have Vayhi bin Sawa Aaron, which is its own sefer, so to speak. And then you have the last part of it. So Bamidbar is actually divided into three books. So according to that, you have Bereishis, Shemos, Vayikra, three books of Bamidbar, and Devarim, so seven books of the Torah. And the idea of seven books of the Torah is a lot to talk about there. But for our sakes, he's just saying that Be'er Shava means that Yaakov took the full perspective of Torah with him to the world. As Chazal explained, the seven books of the Torah. Bahainu. Sheyada shechol zehu b'schus ha-Torah kadosha v'lo mitzido. Yaakov understood, right, that the only way I can survive the hatred of the world, the charon af of the world, v'yele charona, when I'm facing enemies, I have to take the light of the Torah with me. Because who could we, as lowly human beings, how could we ever talk to Hashem and daven to Hashem and ask for Hashem's help along the road of life if not for the Torah, which gives us an access point of our relationship with Hashem? Now he goes on in this piece and talks about the ability to daven in Yaakov's tefillah, but I actually want to stop here. I want to just stop here at this first part of Vayetze, and I want to turn to the Chanukah piece. Okay? Not that the rest of the piece is not chashuv; it's a beautiful piece. The importance of davening and how Yaakov was also a big davener. But the part that we need to know for now is Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Shava. Again, the medrash that we started with. How could Yaakov have such confidence to go out on the road of life? And how could Yaakov sleep? Like the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Im tishkav lo sifchat. How does a person sleep without fear? The answer is, if Vayetze Yaakov Be'er Shava, if you come from Be'er Shava, if you come from a perspective of Torah, you can handle the biggest enemies that you'll ever face. Okay? Let's turn to page 135 and try to understand with this relationship that Yaakov had with Torah, let's try to understand what made Chanukah such an amazing miracle. What was the status of Klal Yisrael's relationship with Torah at the time the Chanukah miracle took place? And you'll see that, unfortunately, we were in a pretty low place, which is what made the miracle so remarkable. Because again, to be able to handle the charon af of the world, to be able to handle enemies, especially really chutzpahdik enemies like Yavan, you need to have Torah. But we didn't have Torah. That was part of the problem. Okay, so let's take a look. Page 135, Chanukah Os Aleph. Yismach Yisrael, Chanukah Os Aleph. He begins with the famous question. The question that Rishonim already asked, that Rav Yosef Cairo made popular. Al Kushyos HaRishonim, the question that the Rishonim asked, namely the Sefer HaEshkol on Hilchos Chanukah, the Tosfos HaRash on Masech HaShabbos, the Meiri on Masech HaShabbos, the Beis Yosef in Hilchos Chanukah, gives us a whole list of those who discussed the question, the famous question, which is why do we celebrate Chanukah for 8 nights when we had enough oil for one night. And more than that, look how he presents the question. Hare balayla rishona lo haya shum neis ki haya ba'apach de lahadlik yom echad. The famous question is, why do we have 8 nights of Hanukkah, 8 days to celebrate Hanukkah? You say because the menorah lasted for 8 days. But we had enough oil for one night. There was nothing miraculous about the first night. They found one Pach Shem. They had one Pach Shem. They had one Pach Shem, and there was nothing miraculous about that. So some said, well, maybe the fact that they found it was miraculous. Maybe there wasn't even enough oil in the Pach Shemen for one night. Different approaches, but assuming that they had a regular amount of oil, so then why do we celebrate 8 nights of Hanukkah? There should be 7 nights of Hanukkah for the 7 miraculous nights. That's the famous question that Rishonim and the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Cairo, asked. Rav Yosef Cairo himself gives 3 answers to the question. There are hundreds of answers to this question. It's a very famous, literally, I'm not exaggerating, there are hundreds of answers to this question, an entire Svarim dedicated to this question. Says the Yisbach Yisrael, we could ask the question even stronger. Why b'chalal did we make a miracle? Make a Yom Tov out of this miracle that the oil lasted. This was not a once in Jewish history occurrence, not even close. In fact, look what he writes. Halo zehu neis hashchiach. This happened a lot of times. This was a commonplace miracle. This is not something that only happened on Hanukkah. We have so many stories throughout history of what? Of miraculous candles burning. Kedemesinu Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa. Like we know about the story of Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and Tanis Daf Chafayim and Aleph. When Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa came to visit his daughter one Friday night, and he saw that she was looking kind of down. And he says, my beautiful daughter, what's bothering you? So she says, Tati, I messed up. I went to light my Shabbos candles. And instead of filling the cups with oil, I filled the cups foolishly. I filled the cups with vinegar. And vinegar doesn't burn. So in a couple of moments from now, it's already Shabbos. I can't change it now. I can't put oil in the candelabra at this point. So now in a couple of seconds from now, it's going to flicker out and we're going to be sitting in the dark eating our Shabbos meal. We lack of Shalom Bayis. We illuminate our home on Shabbos for Shalom Bayis. You didn't have electric lights. If the candles go out, that's it. You're sitting in the dark. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa said to his daughter, who says that oil burns and vinegar doesn't burn? The same God who commands oil to burn could just as easily command vinegar to burn. It's amazing Gemara. Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa says to his daughter, Tanis Daf Chafayim al Aleph, the same Rabbono Sholem who commands oil to burn could command vinegar to burn. Ask Hashem to let your vinegar candles last. V'kachavan, that's what happened. They lasted the entire Friday night and the entire Shabbos day, all the way till Avdalah time. Amazing. Unbelievable. An open miracle. So maybe we should make a Yom Tov out of that. Maybe we should commemorate the day that Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa's daughter saw the miracle of the burning vinegar. And he says, furthermore, v'gam b'dor sachronim. And if you think this is something of old, right, it happened in more recent times as well. He says, for example, look in the Hagdam of the Yam Shal Shlomo. Who wrote the Yam Shal Shlomo? Anyone know? Yam Shal Shlomo is a sefer on Gemara by the Maharshal, Rav Shlomo Luria. The Maharshal, in the 1500s. The Maharshal, in his Hakdama to the Yam Shal Shlomo, tells a very interesting story. Ki gam lo eira neis b'ner mitzvah. He himself said, I once experienced the miracle with a candle. U'maisa shahayya b'zeh huva b'kava yashar. Right? Already in the late 1600s. In the sefer Kava Yashar, very... very deep and holy work by Rav Tzvi Hirsch Koidenover. Rav Tzvi Hirsch Koidenover writes, that one time I was sitting and I was learning with a small candle and I asked Hashem to please give me light so I can continue to learn, and the candle continued to burn and it was much brighter than it would have been natural. So we have tzaddikim throughout the generations, in the 1500s, in the 1600s. We have Tanayim, Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and his daughter. And the most obvious example that he doesn't even bring is the fact that the Ner Ma'aravi of the menorah always stayed lit. That was one of the miracles we saw in the Beis HaMikdash all the time. That one of the candles of the menorah would remain lit, and then when the Kohen every day would come to fix up the menorah, he would take from that light to fix up the menorah and to start the process over again. So this idea of light lasting in a way that's, you know, beyond what we would call regular is not such a chiddush b'chlal. It's not such a chiddush. And therefore he asks, Lama lo kavu al shar hanisim shaya az, hashaheim alechor gedolim mizeh. So why not highlight some of the greater miracles that took place? Why highlight the miracle of the oil? It seems to be such a commonplace miracle. Again, both in terms of what happened in the times of the Beis HaMikdash and what happened throughout the generations. That candles should last a long time. You have stories. How many Baal Shem Tov stories you have about candles that continue to last? A lot of stories. A lot of stories. I can tell you a lot of stories about different tzaddikim who had all sorts of wondrous things happen with their fire, with their candles, etc. So says the Yismach Yisrael, Achein be'emes hu di'im am Yisrael b'chlal o yachid tzadik ador. Kishahim misnagim bedarche Hashem Yisbarach v'torasso shchiyach habracha. When Jews act the way that Jews are supposed to act, of course there's a lot of bracha. That's what the Torah tells us. The Torah says, you act like a good Jew, and Hashem says, I'll help you out. When we walk in the ways of Hashem, again, Yaakov Avinu goes to Haran. Yaakov is facing big enemies, and yet he's calm, and he feels confident he's going to survive. You know why Yaakov is confident? What we just learned in Parshas Vayetzeh. You know why Yaakov is confident he can survive? Because he's an Ish Torah. He's a Torah Jew. So he's not scared of a Lavan. He's not scared of an Esav. You know what he does to the Haran? You know what Yaakov does with Haran? He turns it into Ner Ches. Or Ches Ner. He turns it into a menorah. He makes it into Neros Chanukah. That's what I'm talking about. Haran is Osios, Ner Ches. Ches Neros. The eight lights of Chanukah. Not afraid. Ki Ner Mitzvah Torah Or. Ner Hashem Nishmas Adam. A Jew's Nishama is in a good place. Has a lot of light. And if you have a lot of light, you have a lot of bracha. That's what he says. Let's look at the words again. So when Klal Yisrael Bichlal, the Jewish people in general, O Yachid Tzadik Hador, or even an individual, Kishayim Bisnagim Bidarche Hashem Yisbarach V'Torasso, when we walk in the ways of Torah and the ways of Hashem, Shchiach HaBracha, then it's shayach to have a lot of bracha. It's shayach to have a lot of light in your life. When Hashem created the world, the first thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, Vayehi Or. The first thing that Hashem created was light. And that's not just only a physical light, that was a spiritual light. It's the Or HaGanuz, which comes back to us on Chanukah, the original light which was hidden away during the 6 days of creation. And that light, that original light, is the source of all blessing in the world. That's why the Svarim say, what's the gematria of Yehi Or? Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. First thing Hashem says. 232. Very good. What's 232? Don't know what 232 is? Well, we just saw the word 232 on the page, right? He says, when a person walks in the way of Hashem, then it's Shriach HaBracha. HaBracha is 232. See the word HaBracha? HaBracha is 232. This farm talk about the word HaBracha. This farm talk a lot about the word HaBracha. What else is 232? You have to know why 232 is the biggest bracha. It's not just bracha, it's not just a bracha, it's ha bracha, it's the bracha. Yehi Or, to bask in the light of Hashem, is the biggest bracha of all. What's Hashem's most common name? Hashem has a lot of names. Rambam tells us in Halacha, there are seven names of Hashem that can't be erased. There are other names that we sometimes use for God, which could be erased, but they're also nicknames of Hashem. What's the most common name of Hashem? What's Hashem's main name? Yud kei vav kei. No? Yud and hey and vav and hey. Okay, how many times does that name of Hashem appear in the Torah? How many psukim are in the Torah? Who knows how many psukim are in the Torah? I'll give you some numbers you should know. It's Chanukah season, so start bringing your calculators to share. It's too bad Glickshik's not here to tweet that out, you know? Okay, what's how many psukim are in the Torah? 5,845. It's 5,845 psukim in the Torah. Okay, so what would you say? What percentage? Just take an educated guess, though. How many times do you think God's name Yud Kei Vav Kei appears in those approximately 6,000 psukim? Like, meaning, would you say like Hashem's name appears once in 10 psukim? Would you say once in 5 psukim? How many times? Take a guess. Take an educated guess. Approximately how many times do you think Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei appears in the Torah? 232 times? No way. Way more than that. 600. Right? 600? It's actually a lot more than that. It's about one in every three psukim. Amazing. Close to 2,000. Hashem's name appears in the Torah 1,820 times. Yud Kei Vav Kei, 1820. Okay, 1,820 times, 1820, we find Yud Kei Vav Kei in the Torah. Okay? That's Hashem's, right? That's also Elohim and Kel and Shakai. There's a lot of other names also. But the most basic name of Hashem, the Shem Havaya, as we call it, Yud Kei Vav Kei, appears 1,820 times. Okay? Yud Kei Vav Kei is 1,820 times. Which is like close to once in every three psukim. What'd you say? How many words are in the Haggadah? Yeah, some say 1,820 words are in the Haggadah, corresponding to 1,820 names of Hashem. Very good, Rav Nani. Okay? But you can count that yourself. Go count your own Haggadah. Fine. There's a whole kuntris. There's a whole little sefer written by a tzaddik from about 120 years ago who wrote a whole kuntris on 1820 and all the 1820s of the Torah. But it's all connected back to the fact that Hashem's name appears in the Torah 1,820 times. Yud Kei Vav Kei. The Arizal talks about, and all Sefer Kabbalah talk about, the Miluyei Havaya, which means that if you spell out the letters Yud, Hey, Vav, Yud, and I shouldn't say the letters, no, I say the letters, break them up, Yud and Hey, and Vav and Hey, if you spell out the four letters of Hashem's name, right, there's four basic different ways to expand Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's what I mean by expand it. Like, how do you spell the letter Yud? There's only one way to spell the letter Yud. Yud Vav Dal. If I want to write out the word Yud in Miloy, in expansion, Yud, there's only one way to spell Yud. Yud Vav Dal. If someone tries to do a gematria and they spell Yud in Miloy, Yud Aleph Dal, Yud, that's how I spell Yud. That's not Yud. No one says that's Yud. Yud is Yud Vav Dal. Okay? How do you spell Hey? How do you spell the word Hey? So there's three different ways, three legitimate ways to spell Hey. Hey Aleph, Hey Hey, and Hey Yud. Okay? How do you spell Beis? How many ways are there to spell Beis? There's only one. Bet, Yud, Tav. Okay? How about Dalid? How do you spell Dalid? Dalid, Lamed, Tav. Delas, like a doorway. Right, what if someone spells, well, I spell it Dal, Lamed, Dalid. I spell it Dalid. Well, that's not, okay, that's nice, but that's not the correct Torah way to spell it. It's a delis. Dal is a delis. It's a doorway. And Beis is a bias. Yeah? Okay? But some letters can be spelled different ways. Yod, there's only one way to spell Yod. Hey, there's three different ways to spell Hey. Hey Aleph, Hey Hey, and Hey Yod. Okay, what about Vav? How many legitimate ways are there to spell Vav? There's three legitimate ways to spell Vav. Vav, Vav. Most Pasha way, Vav, Vav. Vav, Aleph, Vav. And Vav, Yud, Vav. Okay? There's four basic ways to spell out Hashem's name, Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei. Now, knowing, again, understanding that there's only one way to spell Yud, but there's multiple ways to spell Vav, and there's multiple ways to spell Hey. Okay? The four different expansions of Hashem's name, yeah, the four different basic ways to expand. If I spell out Yud Kei Vav Kei, right? Here's the numbers. Okay, let me tell you the numbers. One is the Shem Ayin Beis, 72. One is 63. One is 45. And one is 52. Okay, so let's just take one example. Let's do 45 for a second. How do you get 45? So if you spell Yud, so how much is Yud? Yud Vav Dalet is, how much? It's 20. Okay, now let's do the most simple Hey. Hey Aleph, the smallest Hey. Six. Okay, it's another 6, and we can do it twice. So what are we up to? So 20 plus another? 32. Up to 32. Okay, and let's say we also spell Vav with an Aleph, just like we spelled Hey with an Aleph. All right, Hey Aleph, let's spell Vav, Vav, Aleph, Vav. That's going to get us another what? 13. So that's a total of 45. Okay, so if you spell out Yud Kei Vav Kei, that's called B'miloy Alfin, using the Aleph to expand the letter Hey and expand the letter Vav, it equals 45. Okay? So the Sfarim talk about these four expansions of Shem Havaya, Yud Kei Vav Kei. right? Ab, sag, ma, and ban. Ab, ayin, bay, 72. Sag, samach, gimel, 63. Ma, 45. And ban, or ban, 52. Okay, now let's add up the four miluye havaya. What happens if you add 72 plus 63 plus 45 plus 52? What do you get? Ab, sag, ma, ban. Ab, sag, ma, ban. 232. Okay? So the Svarim talk about this, that Yehi Or is Gematria 232. The four Miluye Havaya, the four expansions of Hashem's name, are 232. And it's Gematria HaBracha. Because when I'm connected to these four expansions of Hashem's name, so to speak, I'm connected four, right? Four, if I drew a box, like four, I'm like surrounded on all four sides. Even though if it was a cube, it would be six sides. But the idea of these four Miluye Havaya, right, to be connected to all of them is to be connected to the source of all bracha. So that's why the four expansions of Yudkei Vavkei equal HaBracha, 232 in Gematria, which is the same Gematria as Yehi Or. And that's how Hashem began creation. Vayomer Elokim, it's interesting, it's not Vayomer Hashem, it's very interesting. But Vayomer Elokim, Yehi Or. Yehi Or is 232. So now, with that little introduction, Al Pi Kabbalah, which has a lot to do with Hanukkah. Maybe we'll come back to it. It's important. You should know that. That's something you should know. You learn Sefer Chassidus, which everyone in this year does. Right? That's something we should at least have heard of. Again, what exactly we do with it. But next time you're learning a Sefer, and it talks about Ab, Sag, Ma, Ben, you'll notice it's about the four expansions of Yudkei Vavkei, spelling out Yudkei Vavkei, which is Gematria HaBracha, which is Gematria Yehi Or, and it has a lot to do with Hanukkah. Okay. Velvel Ayin in the Sif Sechein on Hanukkah, and you'll see more about that. Yes, Ellie. Choshech was made by Choshech. Yeah, Bereshit Bara Elokim, Eis Shemayim Veis Haaretz. Va'aretz Haisa Sohu Vavohu V'choshech Al Pnei Sohom. V'ruach Elokim Rechefes Al Pnei Hamayim. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. Hashem's response, the first thing God feels the need to respond to is Choshech. Which also is a big Chanukah Torah. It's interesting, right? Tohu, Bohu, Choshech, Tohom. Those four expressions in the second pasuk of the Torah correspond, the Medrash says, to the four exiles of Jewish history. Tohu are the Babylonians who destroyed the first Beis HaMikdash. Bohu is Purim. Choshech, obviously, is Hanukkah, is Yavan. And then Tohom is Galus Edom, the Romans who destroyed the second Beis HaMikdash. Right? But it's amazing, I once saw in a Sefer that what's the first one Hashem responds to? Of Tohu, Bohu, Choshech, and Tohom, four different expressions of negativity. Vayomer Elokim, Yehi Or. Hashem feels a need to respond to Choshech first. Which shows that Yavan is really the biggest threat. Because the Yavan tried to destroy Torah. If you destroy Torah, you have nothing. And that's exactly the point. Let's come back to Yismach Yisrael, because that's exactly his point. What made the Chanukah miracle so amazing is the fact that we were struggling spiritually. When you don't have connection to Torah, it's very, very hard to dig yourself out of any of your troubles. If you have Torah, you're good. I told you once a story when the Divrei Chaim's daughter came to visit him. The Divrei Chaim's daughter came to visit him from Russia. She came to Poland to visit him from Russia. And when she was leaving, she said to her father, she said, I'm dreading going back home because in Russia, the government is even worse than Mitzrayim. It's worse in Russia than it was when the Jews were in Mitzrayim. That's how bad it is over there. The oppression against the Jewish people is worse than Mitzrayim. So the Divrei Chaim says to his daughter, you can't talk that way. It's not true. You know why it's not true? Because you have something that the Jews didn't have in Mitzrayim. You know what that is? You have Torah. It's the famous Or HaChaim HaKadosh in Shemos Perek Gimel Pasuches, which we learned a few years ago. Those were here in the Shir then. Or HaChaim HaKadosh says, why did we fall to level 49 in Egypt? Why didn't we fall to level 50? If we would have fallen to level 50, what do we know? We'd never be able to get out of level 50. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh that before Mashiach comes, we're going to fall to level 50. Right now, we're in level 50. But we're going to get out. You know why? Because now we have the Torah. With the Torah, you can dig yourself out of the deepest holes. Without the Torah, you're in big trouble. So, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Shava v'yelech harana. Yaakov leaves Be'er Shava, or Yaakov goes out with the Be'er Shava, with the perspective of Torah, to face the charon af of the world, the negativity of the world. Says the Yismach Yisrael now in this first piece on Chanukah. What's the big chiddush of the Chanukah miracle? So he says again in the second paragraph, if Klal Yisrael are connected to the ways of Torah, then Shchiach HaBracha, 232. Then we're Zochah to Bracha. As it says in Bechukosai Teilechu, if you walk in the ways of the Torah, then you're good. You'll be protected. You have what you need. Uksiv Ahayim Shemoa Tishma Lakol Hashem Elokecha Yitzav Hashem Yitzcha Es HaBracha. That's what the Torah says. If you walk in the ways of Hashem, then you'll have Ha Bracha, 232. Yehi Or, you'll bask in the light. So when you have the Maharshal telling you a story about his miraculous experience with the light, or you have Tzvi Hirsch Koidenover in the Kava Yashar telling you about his miraculous experience with the light, or you have at periods of Jewish history Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa having a miraculous experience with the light, or you have the light of the menorah during the good periods of Bayis, Beis HaMikdash, the Ner Ma'aravi stayed burning. That's not a chiddush. The chiddush of Chanukah we're about to learn is that we were not connected to Torah. And we were not in a good place spiritually. Our neshama was not in a good place. So then what happens? Kiner mitzvah of a Torah or. What happens if you don't have Torah? They don't have or. What happens if your neshama is not strong? Ner Hashem nishmas adam. What happens if your internal ner is not strong? Then you shouldn't be expecting any miracles with light. And that's the chiddush of Chanukah, that Hashem in His kindness made a miracle with light to keep us going. Says the Yismach Yisrael, look at the left column. Avachos v'shalom. Kishehem misnagim shalo b'derach ha-Torah azai ein lahem ha-bracha. When you don't have Torah, that you don't have ha-bracha, gematria yihi or, you don't have light. U'lehefechos v'shalom. Va'oz b'yamei yavan ha-risho hay'am Yisrael b'shval ha-matzav b'derach ra. The Jewish people, spiritually, during our fight against the Yavanim, were in a very low place. Atcha'amru lahem kiswa al keren ha-shor she'ein lachem chelek be'lokei Yisrael. Hopefully you're familiar with this medrash. If you're not, you should get to know it because it's a very famous Chanukah medrash. The medrash says that the Yavanim said to the Jewish people, kisvu al keren ha-shor, a strange decree that they made, and many explanations. But what the words mean is they told us to write on the horn of an axe that a Jew should write and declare, ein lachem chelek be'lokei Yisrael. That we should write on the horn of an ox that we do not have a portion in the God of Israel. They wanted us to write down a blasphemous phrase on the horn of an ox. Why on the horn of an ox? What's that about? So he says in brackets, al keren hashur, hainu v'lo al shar karne behemos. Why dafka keren hashur? So if you remember from the beginning of the year, l'man lahoros lahem ki tomu lahem z'chus avos v'z'chus ha'akedah. By writing on the horn of an ox was a way of saying that what? That we've lost our connection to the Schus Avos, and we've lost our connection to the merit of Akedas Yitzchak. Rakal Keren Hashur Depasil L'Shofar. We want you to use the what? The Shur. We want to be Ma'orer the Cheta Egel. We want you to use something which is Pasil for a Shofar. Keren Ikri Shofar Lo Ikri. As we learned in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chavav. So the Dafka wanted us to kind of feel that we've lost our connection entirely to Hashem. And to declare it in writing. We are no longer connected to the God of Israel. Hainu Shiga. Now look at this line. What I'm about to show you is something that I cannot necessarily show you in any other Sefer. Okay? Ready for this? And I try to learn a lot of Svarim. I like a lot of... I have a very broad taste when it comes to Svarim. So I like to poke my head around in a lot of different books. Yeah? And I, if you were to ask me, does anyone ever say that the pintel yid, that the point, the nekuda pnimis within a Jew, was ever damaged in Jewish history? So I'd say, no, of course not. That's the whole point of it. The pintel yid is the point of within the Jew. That's untouchable. And that's a big theme in Yismach Yisrael, I told you, day one we started learning. That one of the major themes that we've seen many times is that there's a point inside of a Jew that's always pure. Why did Yaakov, remember, Parshas told us, why did Yaakov get the brachos wearing the clothing of Esav? To teach us that even if on the outside you look like Esav, kol kol Yaakov, you're still Yaakov on the inside. That's a big theme. But he says something that I've seen in no other Sefer. Look what he writes here. He writes, it's very powerful, very scary actually. Hainu shagam hachelek eloki hashochin bekirba. The divine spark that every Jew has, the chelak elokal mimal, the divine spark inside of us, שלחלק הזה אין נוגע שום פגם. The part of a Jew that cannot be damaged, that never gets ruined. As the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, אף על פי שחת ישראל הוא. That even when you sin, you're still the Yisrael, you're still a Jew. It's the part, it's the most clean, protected part of a Jew. Haynu shachilek shebekir bo lo chata. That even if we do all the averus in the world, there's a part inside of ourself that remains pure. Look what he writes. Ready for this? Vidur hazeh pogmu gam b'chelek halas. This generation damaged that. It was a pagam. It was the closest we ever got to having our inner flame extinguished completely. Now there's a lot to talk about there. There's a lot to talk about there. We've had shiurim in the past about the five dimensions of the soul and how Chanukah is about the restoration of the five parts of the soul. Chanukah is chinuch hay. The word Chanukah is chinuch hay, to protect and to nourish the hay, the five chelkei ha-nefesh. Nefesh, ruach, neshama, chay, yechida, the five dimensions of the soul. So much Torah about this. But this is a scary line, that this door, that spiritually we're so low, and Yevanim were so close with their choshech to extinguishing that inner light of a Jew, the pilot light that's always on. To use Rabbi Judah Michelle's mashal of the Shabbos lamp, right? The light's always on the inside. It's just a question of how much you let the light shine out. Depends how much you open the window. But the light's always on. That's what we believe as Jews. That's what Yismach Yisrael always teaches us. But he says, scary words. V'dor hazeh pag mugam b'chela kalas. Yeah. Yeah, we have to figure out what the history was, what really happened, you know? We have to figure out what really was back then. Right? We have all sorts of stories about Jews who kept Torah secretly and they played dreidel when the bad guys came. We gotta learn these things more deeply and find out what was really the Metzius back then. Lashkicham Torah Sechu, Lavir Mechuke Ritzonecha. They wanted to uproot the Ratzon of the Borei Olam, that there should be a Klal Yisrael. Voracious, Bishvil Yisrael, Shenikra Racious. They were trying to get to the Racious. Their mom was trying to dig as deep as they could to uproot the Pintel of Yid. I don't know. These are scary ideas. Vavreshah Ma'ela. Let's keep reading for a second. Vavreshah Ma'ela Hergishu Zos. These wicked Yevonim understood this. Asherhema B'matzav Rakazeh. They recognized we were in a bad place. V'lachein Bo Aleihem L'milchama K'derech Teva Amalek. And they target us with the lowest blows, like a Malik. Also, something very powerful to think about. What does a Malik have to do with anything? A Malik has to do with Hanukkah. Maybe. You have to understand, from the time that the Yevanim waged war against Klal Yisrael, a spiritual and a physical, but a spiritual war, it never ended. We're still living in the aftermath of Yavan. Galus Yavan never ended. You have to realize that. Galus Yavan never ended it. The fact that we got the Beis HaMikdash back for a little bit, right, was never a complete victory. Galus Yavan just keeps rolling. If you understand that even culturally, the world that we have today, right, today living in Galus Edom, the Roman exile, destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, Western culture, Christianity, Rome is just a continuation of Greece. It was all a hemshah. And a malek is somehow sandwiched into all of this as well. Let's just review something we spoke about in the past to make sure everyone has it down. Because some people are new in this year, and for those who are in the past, maybe we need to chazer it over. Yeah, let's go back again to the second pasuk of Chumash. Okay? 5 more minutes in shir. And then we'll call it a day. Yeah? Let's go back to the second pasuk of Chumash. The world was what? V'haaretz ha'isa tohu, v'avohu, v'choshech al penei sohom. V'ruach elokim rachefes al penei amayim. Okay? So I told you, the four expressions of tohu, bohu, choshech, and tohom correspond to the four exiles. Yeah? Tohu is Bavel. Bohu is Paras Umadai. Is Purim. Choshech is Yavan.
And Tahom is Edom. Okay? But I'm telling you that Yavan never really ended. Yavan kind of just rolls into. Right? So Choshech al Pnei Sahom, that whole phrase is really sort of where we're holding today. It's not like Choshech ever ended. We're still living in the dark ages, so to speak, spiritually dark. We're living in a time of Hester Panim. We don't have Nevi'im. The time of Hanukkah is when Nevi'im stopped functioning in the world. Without Nevi'im, you have no clarity about anything. You don't know what God actually feels about anything. You have a Navi, and Navi comes and tells you straight up, here's what the Ribbono Shel Olam says. But without Nevuah, there's a lot of guesswork. We're trying to understand, but we don't have that clarity anymore. So from the time of the Hanukkah story, from the time that Choshech came to the world, it never really ended. We're sort of continuing a path. Okay? So Choshech is Yavan. Tahom. Choshech al Pnei Tahom. What's the Gematria of al Pnei? Choshech al Pnei Tahom. What's the Gematria of al Pnei? 240. What's 240? Amalek. 240 is Gematria Amalek. Right, so Yamamish have Yavan. Al Pnei is Marami's to Amalek. You have to understand what that means. And then you have Tahom, which is Edom. So it's Mamish, it's one unit. By the way, if you look in the writings of Rav Chaim Vital says that this last exile is not just battling Western culture, it's not just battling Rome, it's not just battling Christianity, which is Esav, but it's battling who? Yishmael. This is Gullus Yishmael. This is a combination of Gullus Edom and Gullus Yishmael. What's the gematria of Tahom? Choshech al Pnei Tahom. So you tell me al Pnei is gematria Malik. What's the gematria of Tahom? 451. What's 451? What's 451? Gematria Yishmael. Exactly gematria Yishmael. Because this Gullus, this final Gullus, Tahom, is not just Edom, like the Medrash says, but the very word Tahom is gematria Yishmael. That's why we're facing militant Islam in the world today, like never before. This is it. It's basically America, which is, you know, America, so to speak, represents Rome, Christianity, right? Facing off against Muslim countries and violent, militant, extremist Islamic countries. And this is us. And we're somewhere trapped in the middle of all this. Okay, so it's Yavan, it's Choshech al Pnei Sahom. It's Yavan, and it's Amalek. And it's Edom, and it's Yishmael, and it's all these forces coming together in a very intense way. Yes? That's what the Medrash says. That's correct. That's what the Medrash says. The end of that Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah is Ruach Elokim Rachefes al Panei HaMayim Zeruchos Shamashiach. That's exactly what the Medrash says. It's the spirit of Mashiach that's hovering al Panei HaMayim. My Mel Torah. With Torah, we find a way to make it through. Without Torah, we're in big trouble. Which again is how Yaakov was able to survive. Yeah? That's why when Yaakov comes to Esav at the beginning of this week's parsha, what does he say? Yesh li shor v'chamor. You know what he's saying when he says shor v'chamor? Kisval karen ashor, she'en lechem chelik b'lkei Yisrael. Who's compared to the shor? Esav's compared to the shor. Who's compared to the chamor? On the way to Akedas Yitzchak, you stay here with the Chamor, Yishmael. So when Yaakov says, Yesh li, Shor v'chamor, Yaakov says, I'm not afraid. I could take on Esav and Yishmael. I could take on Edom. I could bring the Gula. I could fight for Mashiach. A lot of mysteries. Hanukkah is all about preparing ourselves for the light of Mashiach. Yeah. We're going to talk about Yishmael and Mirtz Hashem this Hanukkah. I've been waiting for multiple years now. I've been working on a Yishmael Hanukkah shiur. Yishmael has a lot to do with Hanukkah. And I hope this year we'll be zochet to learn it together. Yes, we have to learn where Yavan comes from Yafes, that's correct. We have to see where Yishmael fits into all of this. Okay, but we'll figure it out, Mirtz Hashem. Hanukkah is the only exile that takes place not in exile. Takes place in Eretz Yisrael, which is where we like to fight Yishmael for Eretz Yisrael until this very day. So there's a lot. There's a lot of Yishmael in Chanukah. A lot of secret Yishmael stuff in Chanukah. Okay, let's just finish the piece quickly for 2 minutes. Ready?
So what happened? So Klal Yisrael were struggling spiritually, and the Yevanim sensed this, and they came at us in the way of a Malek, four lines on the bottom. So when they found that little flask of oil, of course it represents what? That little bit of spiritual light within a Jew. Again, even as he says that it was somewhat damaged in this generation, of course the light was not fully extinguished. And therefore it's romezes to the menorah el yona, to the menorah on high. That spark of the Kohen Gadol, the Pach Shemen of the Kohen Gadol, the rekindling of our internal menorahs, ukederech gacheles. A beautiful mashal, beautiful imagery. He compares it to a coal. Gacheles is a coal. Sometimes you look at a coal, and it looks like it's not hot at all. On the outside, it looks totally darkened. What happens when you blow on that coal? All of a sudden, you see it flares up. You see that it's still hot on the inside. So it's like a gacheles, shem yesh ba nitutze esh, turn the page. Kasher nofeach ba, when you blow upon the coal, mislaheves v'shalheves esh. The same way, vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim, that God blew into us the spirit of life. Hashem blew into the lifeless body of Adam, the spirit of life. So too, when we meet a Jew, it looks lifeless on the outside. He looks darkened over by Yavam. He's living in the dark. You just have to what? You have to just somehow rekindle that fire. You have to just give him a breath of Mashiach, the ruach of Mashiach. No feach ba. You blow on that coal and it flares up. Kena kohen b'koach chedushas hamitzvah heyer l'leiv b'nei Yisrael v'hidlik behem shal heves. The kohen rekindled that inner spark. V'yagel b'einehem es ha'evan hanigaf. I'm paraphrasing the pasuk from this past week's parsha. Right, to roll the rock off the well, so to speak. The rock is the blockage that blocks out our relationship with Hashem. Ves mesach hamavdil heiser mehem. And he removed whatever was separating us from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ad sherab mag pogmu. To the point that the Jews were able to recognize spiritually how damaged they had become. V'lifnei mi, and before whom they had damaged. V'arheichan advar magiyim. And to realize what was happening to us. V'zachu l'tshuva shlema. And the Jewish people were zocha to complete tshuva. Chanukah is a big holiday of tshuva. So many tzaddikim say that the last chance to do tshuva from the Yom Noram is on Zos Chanukah. This is the end of the Yom Noram period. What's the gematria of tshuva? Very quickly. Tshuva, how much is tshuva? 713. Same gematria as what? How do we light the menorah? Of course, there's three different levels when it comes to halakas near Chanukah, but everyone that I've ever met does Mahadrim in a Mahadrim, no? What's the Gematria? Mahadrim in a Mahadrim. 713, Gematria Tshuva. Mahadrim in a Mahadrim is Gematria Tshuva. What does the word Mahader mean? Hadar. When the Gemara says Hadar, means what? To return, to go back, Tshuva. Mahadrim in a Mahadrim means to keep doing Tshuva on things we already did Tshuva for. Mahadrim in a Mahadrim, to go back again, to keep trying to get closer, right? Going back to Hashem. That's what Tshuva means, returning to Hashem. Returning to ourselves. So on Chanukah says the Yismach Yisrael, Zachu l'tshuva shlema. Oz memeila hay ha-neis, v'ha-bracha gam b'shar ha-leilos. Uva nechlal in kol zayin yama v'hi mekor ha-bracha. So when the Jewish people were able to light that first, right? You have to understand, to be able to light that first Pach Shemen was a big avoda. Again, b'derach ha-teva, they found oil, and they lit it. And what's the big deal that it lasted a long time? The answer to our question is, to be able to prove that the light was still on at a time when Torah was so weak and spiritually we were so weak was a big chiddush. And that oil would see miracles at a time when we were very far from that blessing of spiritual connectivity was itself a big chiddush. V'chein meduktak lashon ha-gemara, and that's what the Gemara actually says, b'chafhei b'kislev yomei d'chanukah t'manya inun. On the 25th of Kislev are the 8 days of Chanukah. It doesn't say that on the 25th of Kislev begins the 8 days of Chanukah. It says, are the 8 days of Chanukah. Meaning what? Hainu sha'azhu kol shmona hayamim b'koach. All 8 days in potential were found within that first day. Because again, to get that menorah lit, to have that initial reawakening was a very big deal. V'zman hazehu noke v'holech, and it was that initial rekindling that what? The noke, that continued to dig and to pave the way. Every year when we come to Chafei Kislev, we once again rekindle our inner connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'chol echad miYisrael achafetz be'emes. And any Jew who wants to be attached to Hashem. Afimu achuz, even if he's clutching b'svach havonos, even if he's caught up in many averos. V'shocha la'afar nafsho. Paraphrasing a pasuk in Tehillim Mem Daled. Right? And his soul is pressed to the earth. He's crushed, he's trampled. Yuchol lizkos the tshuva shleima. Chanukah is a time to start fresh. Ulahargish kedushas hayamim ha'ela. Lahamshich el atzmo ba'al klolis Yisrael ner mitzvah v'torah or. Laheir mitoch hashecha b'chol inyanim beruchnias uvegashmias. Amen. We're not done though. There's still one little paragraph. V'alpi devarenu eila. We need this next paragraph because that's today's Gemara Shir. Based on what we've just explained, now we understand. Why don't we have any Mishnayos in Shas that talk about Hilchos Chanukah? Well, we're about to find out today. There's a Mishnah Bava Kama on Daf Samach Beis, which we're going to learn today, which talks about Chanukah. But why don't we have any real Hilchos Chanukah in the Mishnayos? Why is it hinted to in a Mishnah in the sixth parak of Bava Kama, parak Vav, Mishnah Vav? Bava Kama Samach Beis, why is it all Bederach Remez? Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bener Chanukah Potter. We'll find out in a minute what that Mishnah is about. The answer is, you know why there's no Chanukah in the Mishnayos? Because Mishnah, he says, is the same letters as Neshama. And the Neshama of the Jewish people were not illuminated on Chanukah. The Neshama was struggling on Chanukah. Ki Mishnah hu osios Neshama b'chinas pnimius. V'heima pogmu oz gam b'chinas pnimius nafsha. The Jewish people had damaged their Neshama, and therefore Chanukah doesn't appear in the Mishnah. It's only hinted to in the Mishnah. Because to find that the Jewish spark was still alive inside, you have to look deep. It wasn't something that was obvious in the times of Chanukah. So therefore, the Mishnayos hid the whole sugya of Chanukah. Okay, but we'll find out more about that in a halachic context right now. We'll be head to the Beis Medrash to learn Bava Kama. But again, you have to understand, if you have Torah, that's what Yaakov Avinu taught us, you can take on anything. If you don't have Torah, your neshama flame becomes weakened, and the ore within you becomes nearly extinguished. And that's what the Yevanim tried to do. And it was only in Hashem's kindness that Hashem allowed the light to stay lit and illuminated despite our weakened spiritual state. Okay? Mirtz Hashem to be continued. These are the building blocks of many Chanukah ideas, which I hope to talk about in the next couple of weeks.